Thank you. In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome, especially those of you who are guests among us this day. God bless you with the peace, light, and love that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church experience each time we gather in God's holy name. I invite you to rise as you're able in body or spirit for our gathering hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation, and by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that, for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9. The image of the servant of the Lord is one of the notable motifs in the book of Isaiah. Today's reading describes the mission of the servant, whom early Christians associated with Jesus. Like Jesus, the servant does not strike back at his detractors, but trusts in God's steadfast love. A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I might know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
All right. Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 146. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I call.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. Therefore, I cried out to God, and he heard me.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, but I saw you.
Turn against your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. The second reading from James, chapter 3. This text uses various images to illustrate how damaging and hurtful the way we speak to and about others can be. Not only are we to control our speech, but what we say and how we say it are to reflect our faith. A reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptizer, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're not told exactly how Jesus explained this upcoming scenario of suffering, death, and resurrection. And while it may seem that this suffering and death would be the work of the religious leadership who are seated in Jerusalem, Jesus speaks of the whole plan enacted under a must suffer, must be killed, and must be raised. Rejection and resurrection are interlocking parts in a bigger picture that provides the ultimate meaning of who Jesus is and what his mission is. But this bigger picture isn't spelled out. The story isn't unfolded. Well, Jesus may have explained it further to his followers, but if he did, Peter, the leader of the disciples who had just confessed, "You are the Messiah," well, Peter wasn't persuaded. Whatever Jesus said, it seems that Peter heard nothing but suffer and be killed. This is so outside of Peter's way of thinking that he feels compelled to take the role of master, pull Jesus aside to set him straight. But Jesus turns the tables on Peter and reveals a different way of thinking. Jesus thinks that the rock that is the foundation of his church has become a rock that is a stumbling block, an obstacle. And so Peter must get back into a proper following of Jesus, and so struggle to understand what Jesus has predicted. The way Peter thinks is an ordinary way of thinking. It's how humans like you and me put things together. But it's not how humans in touch with God put things together. And this is what Peter must learn. For following Jesus calls for a new way of thinking, a way of thinking that goes against conventional thinking or culturally approved thinking. Jesus says, "My followers deny themselves. My followers don't think about the avoidance of suffering and death at all costs." This new way of thinking emphasizes the doing of God's will regardless of what the consequences are. In a world opposed to God's will, those consequences include suffering and death, but also resurrection. Disciples are not to grudgingly endure this situation. They're to lean into it. And this means taking up their cross, not having it put on them. And as they understand and do this, it will become a path of transformation for others, and the path of resurrection for themselves. And so Jesus tries to help disciples understand that this following that looks like loss is really gain. Hear me say that again. The following that looks like loss is really gain as a disciple of Jesus. If disciples try to hold on to their present life in its temporary security and social position, they do this by not opening up to a deeper understanding. In particular, they bend to the oppression of the civil and religious authorities because they fear reprisal. You know as well as I do that it's a sad but predictable fact that those who stand up get knocked down. A woman reports accounting abuses at Wells Fargo, and her supervisor thanks her and notes her courage, and within a week is let go for no apparent reason. Whistleblowers are a prime contemporary example. A good cop reports that other cops in Seattle are abusing suspects, and he's shunned and punished in very clever and often violent ways. Criticism and cover-up go together, and part of the cover-up is to eliminate the criticism. Last year, 2023, the International Federation of Journalists notes that it was one of the worst years for the killing of journalists. 129 journalists died last year alone. 70% of those deaths occurred in Gaza. Currently, there are some 427 journalists incarcerated around the world. China leads with 80. Myanmar, Turkey, Russia, and Belarus. Criticism and cover-up go together, and part of the cover-up is to eliminate the criticism. And Jesus is a fierce critic. Jesus pointed out the thoroughgoing hypocrisy of religious leadership. They were taken up with their own importance, loving the trappings of their position rather than its substance. Recognition in the marketplace and the best seats at the best table at the parties. They kept people from knowledge that would help them, laid burdens on them, and then watched them falter. Jesus saw clearly the systemic, institutional, and organizational abuse, and prophet that he was, blew the whistle on them, called them all out publicly. He protested. He turned tables upside down in the temple. You wonder why they killed him. They would rather save the present way that they were living at the expense of God's life coming to birth in them. But it's this deeper divine life that is most valuable. It would do them little to gain the whole world. There's no trade-off. You can be as rich and safe as you want in this world, and also sacrifice the great treasure of God's love and resurrection life for that. It It's not worth it. And the cross you and I are called to take up in the name of Jesus and follow him is one of service. It's one of service to the hungry, to those who need shelter, to those who need clothing. That's where our baptism leads us. Not into our own homes or bunkers, but out into the world. A continuation of the message of Jesus, the message and ministry of Jesus, who is always with us. In his name, amen. God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the Church, God's good creation, and all who are in need. We pray for the church throughout the world. Form us into communities of forgiveness and grace. Help us to notice where you are calling us into new relationships, and give us courage to embrace the uncomfortable and the unfamiliar. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the earth and all its inhabitants. Protect lands at risk of wildfire and heal dying forests. Where fire brings destruction, raise up new growth. Guide us in tending precarious ecosystems. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who govern nations, tribes, and cities. Open them to the cries of people in need. Direct them in shaping policies that prioritize the health and the well-being of all who struggle with hunger and housing insecurity. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are ill, all who are lonely or anxious, and all who grieve. Draw them close to you and soothe them with the promise of your enduring love. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for teachers, professors, librarians, school administrators, staff, and all who support the education of young people. Sustain them as they shape learning communities. Rooted in equity and authenticity, we pray for children of all ages in their learning. Lord, in your mercy.
God of loving kindness, we pray that you bless each person present here today, and that you accompany them in their joys and sorrows, that you empower them with faith in the face of trials, and that you give them the spirit of goodwill towards others. We pray also for Bruce's family, for Valerie's family, for Pat Sobeck's family, for Wayne, for Leah, for Angie and Jessica, for James, Ali's friend Sarah, for Jackie and Dylan and their families, for Kurt, Lisa and Malachi, for Eunice, for Bill, for John's family, Samuel and Zion and their mother, for Scott, for Beckett, for Almaz, Awatosh and Mulgita, for Matt's mother Jean, for Finley, Jean, Jan, Richard, Barb, and Hildy. Lord, in your mercy.
We remember our beloved dead, who with the great cloud of witnesses bear witness to your saving grace. Accompany us in our pilgrimage of faith, that we too place our hope and trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of peace with your neighbor. Respect to vaccines and post-pandemic practices, the church will continue to make the communables available for folks at the door, but you'll notice that the bags are gone, so we ask you to dispose of them yourselves on the way out, and please feel free to commune during the distribution with your family and friends that are around you, okay? If you have any other questions about that, please you can communicate them with me. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able, in body or spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah who died and rose, that we may follow him. And so, with the church on earth, all creation and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of God and life. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna.
On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come and taste the joy of God.
Thank you.
Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with the dignity, at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Just a few brief announcements. If you're a guest among us this day, thank you for being with us. Your presence is a blessing to us, and we invite you to stay for a time of fellowship, which is a special time of fellowship today as we celebrate the 90th birthday of a dear member, so join us for that. Also, you'll be able to kind of refresh yourselves on the vision of the Welcome Garden is on display. Please take a look at those wonderful renderings, and feel free to contact Mark Dibble or Mark Oplinger about the design and the ideas for ministry around that. Also, you'll find a brand new clipboard with a sign up for home visits from your pastor. Even though I'm here for 90 days, it's something that I would do at the beginning of any new ministry start. So. I can't make you invite me into your home. but if you could set aside 30, 40 minutes to share with me the history of your membership in the church and your dreams for it, and you do not have to feed me. Okay. Next week, I will kind of help kick off the adult forum program. A challenging topic, but I'm going to lead us through a journey through music and musicians, composers that were suppressed by the Third Reich during Hitler's time. They used one nasty algorithm, right, that of race, and we'll see what the music industry does in our time to weed out certain types, all right? So hopefully it's informative. I think the programming for this fall is quite fantastic. You've got some special speakers, and I am happy to be a part of it. Any other announcements for the good of the order today? With that, please rise for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.